May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Names mean a lot in John's Gospel. John describes Jesus as the Lamb of God, a name that captures the attention of some of his own disciples. With new names, or new titles, comes change. There is tremendous power in a name. It's a big decision to change a name. When we marry, women make a choice to either retain their family name or change to their husband's name. People change their name by deed poll to remove a name from their lives that may have difficult or even dangerous connotations. When Jesus looks at Simon, he does something small and enormous at once. He gives him a new name, Cephas, which means Peter, rock. That moment marks a shift of identity and calling. How do we get to this name-changing moment? When Andrew runs to Simon, he doesn't give a theological lecture. He says, "We have found the Messiah." That's excitement, not argument. And when Simon meets Jesus, again, it's a very simple moment. There's no dramatic conversion with thunderbolts and visions. It's a human encounter. It models how God meets us in the ordinary, in curiosity, in conversation, in the recognition of another person. Jesus' first words to those who follow him are not a test or a condemnation. He asks, "What are you looking for?" and then says, "Come and see." Human beings are seekers by design. We're created with a longing that points beyond ourselves. The invitation to come and see is an invitation into revelation. God does not coerce knowledge of himself. God invites relationship. Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." Jesus acknowledges Simon's history, his family, his ordinary identity, and then he offers a future name that points to who Simon will become. This is important. Jesus doesn't erase Simon's history. He sees it. He names it. Then he offers a new name that reframes everything. When Jesus names Simon Cephas, he's not ignoring Simon's weaknesses. He is promising that in relationship with him, Simon's life will be shaped into something sturdier than it was. So when he gives him this new name, he's not playing a word game. He's offering a new identity. Cephas means rock. It's a name that points to stability, to foundation, to someone who'll hold things together. Later in the gospel story, we see how complicated that name becomes, how Peter will both stand firm and stumble, have great faith but also be flaky and shaky. But the gift of the name is a promise. God sees the potential in us and calls it into being. When Jesus names Simon Cephas, he is saying, "I see who you are, and I see who you can be." That double vision, seeing both reality and possibility, is the engine of transformation. That's how redemption works. We don't need to pretend our past never happened. We bring our past into the light, and then reorient it towards a new purpose. Think about how often we try to hide parts of ourselves, our failures, our fears, the ways we've been small or selfish. We imagine that if Jesus truly saw us, he would be disappointed. Our identity is not fixed by our worst moments. Simon was a fisherman, a son, a man with limits. But Jesus saw a rock in him and named it. That doesn't erase Simon's failures, but it reorients them. In the same way, our past does not have the final word. God's naming can reframe our narrative. We are made in the image of God. That image is not a static label, but a capacity for relationship, for reflection, for receiving and responding to God's call. Sin fractures the image of God in us, distorting our self-understanding. Jesus restores that image by reorienting us to the one who knows us best. When we're named by God, he brings our scattered selves into coherence around Christ. There's a cost to being seen. To be truly known is to risk exposure. Simon could have run away from that gaze. He could have clung to the safety of anonymity. Instead, he stays. He allows Jesus to look at him and to speak a new name over him. That willingness to be known is the first step toward becoming who God calls us to be. In our lives, we often protect ourselves with masks, the competent professional, the cheerful parent, the quiet sufferer. We keep parts of ourselves in the dark because we fear judgment. But the gospel suggests a different path. When we let Jesus see us, our anger, our shame, our longing, he doesn't use that knowledge to shame us. He uses it to free us. The courage to be known becomes the doorway to a new identity. We are not called to be lone rocks. We're called to be part of a living foundation. The new name is given into community, and the community helps shape and sustain that identity. When we name people in church, we give new titles. I am a reverend, archdeacons are venerable. But we also call people to be licensed lay ministers, ordinands, pastoral assistants, music director, treasurer. And that only happens because someone else sees gifts in us and names them and invites us into them. Identity in the Christian story is formed in relationship. We become who we are in the company of others who see, witness, encourage, and pray for us. So if Jesus sees us and names us, how do we live in the light of that? First, we need to practice being seen. Now, that sounds odd, until you realise just how much of our spiritual life is spent hiding. We hide behind busyness, competence or performance. We hide our doubts and our wounds. The practice of being seen begins with honest prayer. Bring the real you to God, the smallness, the anger, the jealousy, the bitterness. In prayer, name what you're afraid to name. Let the gaze of God meet you. Secondly, we practice listening for the new name. Names come in many forms: a word of encouragement from a friend, a conviction in prayer, a sense of vocation that will not leave you. Pay attention to how God and the community describe you. If someone says you're kind, test that word in action. If someone names you as an organiser, look for ways to serve. The new name is an invitation to practice, not a label to hoard. Thirdly, remember that failure doesn't cancel the name. Peter will later deny Jesus and stumble, yet the name Cephas remains part of his story. God's naming is resilient. It endures through our failures and calls us back to repentance and restoration. That's the hope of the gospel. Identity is not erased by sin, it's reclaimed by grace. To be known by Jesus is a gift and a challenge. It requires vulnerability. It requires that we stop performing and start receiving. And it also requires obedience. A name is an invitation to live differently. When Jesus calls Simon Cephas, he's not simply flattering him. He's calling him into a life that will demand courage, humility, and faithfulness. And the promise is that this life is not solitary. The Word who called the world into being walks with us into the work of becoming. The Spirit sustains, the community supports, and the sacraments feed. And I remember, our identity is grounded in God's faithful action, not in our fluctuating feelings. So if you're carrying a hidden part of yourself, bring it into the light. If you're unsure who you are, come and see. Let the gaze of Jesus find you and let his voice speak a new name over your life. And receive that name not as a label to protect, but as a vocation to live out in the ordinary rhythms of work, family and community. And trust that even when you fail, the name endures and grace will call you back. Amen.